like a rocky table and it's constantly moving around.
You hear that? It's moving.
Oh, yeah.
If you went by the face of that a little bit, we're doing a little podcast here, man. Welcome to Highway Diary. I'm your host, Eric Alzog. With me, Brian St. John at the back of the Brighton Bar.
Hello.
In Long Branch, New Jersey.
Right behind the glory hole.
Man, really?
There used to be a glory hole here. Now in the bathroom.
Oh, in the bathroom. Yeah. Okay, sick. From the men's bathroom outside, like behind the fence. Gug, 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 gug.
Well, honestly, if you've ever been in the men's bathroom here, there's not enough room to kneel down and suck a dick.
Right.
But there was a glory hole.
Yeah, well.
I don't know what the logistics were.
I thought that we should go in there with several architects and figure it out. Man, there's like a nice little comedy scene. I feel welcome. I've only been back in Jersey for like a couple months.
You feel welcome in Jersey?
I think so.
You're not.
Not at
no,
all.
No, nobody likes you.
No, but in New Orleans, all the white comedy, you know, a lot
you
of
do
white-
comedy in New Orleans?
Yeah, yeah.
I know that.
So I went to school out there for from 2014 to 2017. I got my master's in screenwriting from the University of New Orleans. I did comedy every night.
But
it didn't help me, trust me. But a lot of the white comics, you know, the hipstery times, like I did my Caitlyn Jenner joke, and they're like, oh, you're being transphobic. It's like, what? They're like, don't do that. It's like, motherfucker, I'm from Jersey. You don't tell me what to do.
And now that you're in Jersey, everyone's like, don't do that joke. You're a hack.
No, they're more like, oh, that's cool. They're like, yeah, go for the child sex doll joke. That's fine.
That's the best one.
That's fine.
That's what people out here are like. Yeah. Is there a comedy scene in New Orleans? Because everything I've heard, there's like no clubs or anything.
There's no clubs, but it's like every... It's like a place like this. Like, it'll have music 6 nights a week and comedy 1 night a week. So, if you... Okay, you go Monday, I go here. Tuesday, I go here.
Yeah,
Thursday,
sure.
I go here. And you see the same circle of people. There's 30 comics, but there's a good 20 of them to do it every night. Yeah. So. But, yeah.
When'd you go back to Jersey?
Well, I went to L.A. first, and I tried to sell my scripts because I got a master's. And I think, hey, Johnny Hollywood...
That's an actual person.
I know.
You should get him on your podcast.
I know. I don't think he likes me, but that's another.
That's probably a good thing for you. He's awful.
So, yeah. So, hey, Dr. Show Business. I'd like to.
There you go.
I just got in.
Master Show Business.
Got a master of screenwriting. How about you read it? And they'd be like, let me put you through to the line. Unsolicited submissions are not accepted.
You were cold calling for a screenplay?
I was cold calling to send an email to send a screenplay.
That's brutal,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like
and you moved out to LA to do that?
Because in undergrad,
you could have just called for New Orleans.
I know. So I went to a new school. I took one class called The Business of Screenwriting.
Okay.
I did my undergrad in creative writing, but I did the UCB the whole time. But
oh, God.
One of my fucking teachers was like, describe this process where you send out query letters, then you call them, then you email them, then you call them, then you email them, then you send out another batch of query letters, and eventually you'll break somebody down and they'll be
your
agent.
So part of the class was being a desperate...
No, like, just explaining exactly the process of being a desperate failing writer with agency.
You don't have a Jewish uncle there for you
right.
to do this. Yeah.
So I figure, well, if I do it now, they won't take me seriously. But if I spend 3 years in grad school and then do it, then they'll take me seriously. Not at all.
No, it's probably worse, actually.
It's like having a master of screenwriting is very like not having a master of screenwriting.
It's probably
it took
worse, honestly.
Three fucking years.
Like, Seth Rogen definitely didn't have a master in skiing.
No, I know, right? He was 13, he smoked weed, and he met Judd Apatow or something, whatever. However,
I think Judd
happened.
Apatow raped it when he was a kid.
Oh,
that
okay.
was part of the deal.
Yeah.
That's what I heard.
It's an industry standard practice.
They do the behind the scenes on Crashing afterwards. It was all about Judd Apatow raping all those kids on Freaks and Geeks.
Well, hey, show business. If there's a way in, if I can put my foot, my little dick in the door, anything, you know what I mean? What leverage do you have in this world? You're going to die soon. You better get an agent. So then I just saved up in L.A. and fucking, you know... shot my own special in September, but I'm just waiting for it to be edited because we shot like 40 shows on the road.
Oh, yeah.
So that's gonna be my special that comes out.
Oh, yeah, you mixing it up? You get Chris Rocket to have like a glitter suit.
We have two editors. One is in LA, one is in Denver, but it's chugging along.
Well, because you're cutting out 40 shows.
Because we're cutting 40 shows. Yeah. So one of them is focusing on the sketches. The other's focus. So we
on
shot sketches.
No, you were such a
all
UCB
kinds of shit.
Fag, dude. Jesus Christ.
That's my Twitter handle. UCB fag. Hashtag hollaback. So if you want to find me on Twitter, that's it.
That's it tonight.
I know, but I did improv like for 9 years.
Really?
Like doing zip, zap,
you
zop.
You like that?
Zip, zap, zop. I liked it. And then I realized, like, oh, if I'm not hired on a sitcom, like, my life is going to be over.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's like a skill improv.
You're too old and hairy for SNL already.
I know, yeah. Right? Once I was not 27 anymore. No, when I was 27, I was like, all right, I'm just doing stand-up.
Yeah.
So I did it, like, maybe 20 times when I was, like, 16. Mm. And then I just did straight UCB until I was, like, 26 or 27. And then I just started doing straight.
How many 33. Classes of UCB did you get through?
Oh, all of them.
Right. Really? Yeah, so you're like the grand wizard of improv.
Yeah, but then, like, just like getting a master in screenwriting, it's not like they have shows for you. It's like, yeah, oh, no, come back and audition for a Herald team. Yeah. Oh, so did 1,200 people. You yeah. didn't get it? Okay, well, there's 8 spots and 30,000 people audition, so good fucking luck.
There was an open mic in Asbury Park a few weeks ago. There's an improv group, like a little improv group I think anyone could join, and they went on and did, like, the zip-zap kind of shit at the open mic. And it's in the middle of a bar. It's the winner on the boardwalk in Jersey in a bar. And they went up, and I caught myself becoming the guy that I hate, like, in the open mic audience. Because, like, I caught myself just drinking at the bar and thinking, you know what? This isn't funny, but it takes a lot of balls to get up there and do it.
I respect them. Yeah. I should be calling them faggots,
like,
right now.
Which is like what my friends who come and see me when I bomb say, you know?
Yeah. Like, oh, you look cute. But yeah. That it is tough. How do you deal with bombings, Brian St. John? When your family comes out to a showcase show?
I never bring my family up. My brother, like my sister will obviously be my parents. Yeah.
Yeah.
I refuse a lot of.
What do you think would happen if they saw you do comedy?
I mean, if I did well, they'd be cool with it. My dad's like 3/4 deaf, so like my dad watched a good tape of mine. And it was brutal because he couldn't, like, follow it at all, even though the audio is good.
Yeah,
and it was on YouTube, so I put the subtitles on. The subtitles on YouTube are garbage.
Oh, you did it to auto-register?
Yeah. So like at one point I said the word chlamydia, and YouTube put it up as chlamydia. So my dad was completely lost. He's like, I hear laughs, so I just don't get it. I'm like, all right, this is worse than, like, you just not liking it, you know?
Yeah. Or, like, he's just off. The timing is off. You're like,
yeah. I'm constantly pausing it and telling what I said, and, like, that's just the worst way to tell someone the punchline of a joke.
Yeah.
But, I mean, like, when I bomb nowadays, it just kind of, like, I just kind of try to walk the room with me, you know? Like, I don't know. I spent a year and a half to 2 years just sweating on stage and being awful, and I was like, why don't I just get drunk and just ruin the show with it, you know?
I stopped the show at George's the other day. Like, I walked all those. We had 3 audience members that I walked over. But they went peacefully.
Yeah.
Nobody punched nobody.
Nobody threw a glass.
Oh, man. So.
We're doing a podcast out here.
Oh.
Please keep your voice down.
Or direct it there. No halfway.
Okay.
There was like fucking 3 lists. There was one list that was a decoy list. Then he's like, someone burned it. One of the open micers, you see that? They burned the list. They go, fuck this, man. I showed up early. I didn't get it. Like, he like had a revolution about the list. Burned it. Okay, so then he goes, all right, let me put out my computer list.
That's how you get a CISO special.
Yeah. The whole place got burned to the ground. What happened with CISO? That was like...
CISO's done, I think, right?
A little Jewish lightning went on there. Like, they like had 90 specials on one platform, and then
It probably was like a Ponzi scheme. That's right. Yeah. Like, they got a bunch of investors to dump a bunch of money into it. They put out 90
bad... Buy low, sell high.
They put out 90 bad specials that they paid like $4,000 each on. And kept
right?
The money.
Was that what happened? They're like, we'll produce it, but we can't give you that much money. This is a showcase for you.
Exactly.
To sell tickets.
It's exposure. I'd rather get paid in beer than exposure.
Yeah. And then the place shut down. It's just really weird. Like, you can't come out at Netflix prices like a week into business with a third of the content.
With nothing to show for it.
You have 20 specials in Netflix, and it's the same price as Netflix.
The only people buying it were people who still love Community.
Yeah. Well, I wanted reruns. Yeah. They had Mighty Boosh on, which I like, but I mean...
Mighty Boosh is on there? Yeah.
It was on CISO.
Oh, yeah?
That was one of their acquisitions. Yeah. I love that show. It's one of the best shows
ever. What was that guy?
No Fielding?
No, Matt something. Matt Berry? One of the guys, and the black guy, too. They had a show, it was like a BBC show, and they had it on Netflix, and it was like a sketch comedy show. I can't remember the name, but it was
a luxury comedy?
No.
I don't know. Here, you want some of this?
Sure.
Well, there's a couple comedy soldiers now that have gone around the North Jersey scene, you know. Even if you drive an hour and a half, you see the same fucking
this
people.
This is the Jersey Shore.
Oh, okay, yeah. It's fucking freezing out here.
It's freezing, there's no Italian sluts.
Are there any audience members? It's all comedy.
Yeah, there's about 25, 20 to 23-year-old dudes, and none of them have 5 minutes inside.
Well, yeah, speaking of which, I kind of feel paranoid because the show could start at any moment. So let, how about... Started.
You're not in the first three.
Oh, did they post the...
They're pulling three at a time.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah, it's a man named Ziggy on stage right now.
Ziggy's cool.
Yeah, why does Angela fucking start a mic by yelling at us and telling us the rules?
Why did you burn the list? Jack,
I did. He said somebody burnt the list, and I should have known.
Yeah. Why did you burn the list? You thought it was bullshit? You showed up late, and
I didn't actually burn the entire list. I just burned the corner of it, and I was like, what have I done? And like, reach over the roof and cry.
Right. It felt good. It felt good to get the letter going, but then when you burn it, you were like, what
have I
done?
I just was like, I'm glad that everyone has seen me burn the list. I proved my point.
you haven't made a spectacle of yourself in a while.
Yeah, I was like, oh my god, you actually should watch this. You'll appreciate this. Okay, I actually had
middle of a podcast.
Yeah, we're doing a podcast, kind of, but hey, we'll do it again after we start.
No list that came out, or the list burning of said rogue list. He's pretty much a model citizen. Give it up my man, Kyle Groom. Thank you, Roland, for Eric Hollowback. St. John.
What's up, guys? Yo, give it up for Angelo, the host of first bucket open mic and not cheat. Like, he left the bucket on stage. Every time I've been at one of these open mics, somebody takes my name out and then just puts it away back in the bucket. I like this being in a bucket mic because Caprio definitely got here at like 6 o'clock and he's still going last. That's pretty fun, dummy. Caprio stopped Ubering like 3 hours early to come here. You know Uber, you Lyft, right?
That's right.
Yeah, you would. Lyft has way less extensive background checks than Uber. Creepy ass Caprio in. He lied about his age and didn't find out in the background check. Completely forgot what I wanted to talk about. This open mic sucks, I hate all of you. Thank you. Appreciate it. Three doors down played here? Oh, pre-9/11, you got three doors down, dude? That was probably the most fun concert of all time. It's going doot, 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 and you don't know who Osama bin Laden is? Can't think of a better mood to be in. Shut up. What's your name?
Rory.
Nobody cares. All right. Rory, you ever think about like things that you've just been taught are normal and the rest of society accepts, right? But you have no idea if they're like should be if they're correct or not. Like if you're walking up a crowded staircase, everyone walks to the right, and that seems to make sense and it works out. But that's just a thing we've all just done. No one told you to. You just do it. I've been thinking about things like that, like breastfeeding. You know, everyone just breastfeeds. Someone told you that's what you're supposed to do, and they do it. But like. You know, has anyone ever questioned it? Like, what if like cum is better than breast milk? You know? There's definitely more of it. Like, I've never seen a woman throw away her breast milk. I throw away my cum 4 times a day. And like, the kid is like the perfect size, you know? At that age for feeding, like when I'm on like a chase lounge, you know? Just makes more sense to me. Like little Billy was made out of cum, you know? Why wouldn't more cum be better for him? You guys won't believe this. Okay, I'm gonna, thanks.
I had to start forgetting that new bit, Kyle.
Hey, Brian, we're rolling here, Brian.
Rolling?
Get in on here?
All right. stories from the Brighton Bar.
Oh, boy, the Brighton Bar. That's it. Ty just ate the most amount of shit possible. Some girl is, like, starting to text me for the first time, like a new budding relationship. We're working out when we can date each other. And she's like, oh, let me come to this. I was like, oh, no, I'll see you after. Like,
you do not come to the Brighton Bar.
Yeah, don't come.
Yeah. The worst mistake you see, like, open mic comics make is bringing a date or a family member to an open mic.
Oh, you know what?
Once in a while, you get put on, like, a decent show.
Yeah.
And you do, like, your 10 minutes that you know are good. And there'll be, like, some people who have never seen it. And you have a good set. And you can impress anybody with that.
Yeah.
You have 5 audience members. And you have a good 10 minutes. You can impress anybody.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, my God, he actually knows what he's doing. But if you bring them to the Brighton Bar open mic, like, tonight, where your name's been pulled out of a bucket.
You told me to come here. I was like, hey, what about this
place?
Well,
you were
going
to go to the Scarlet
place?
Pub, which is so much worse.
Before.
Yeah. So, where do you live now?
Hagerstown.
Okay, so yeah, so you're way up north.
Yeah.
I'm like in between here and New Brunswick. This is not interesting for a podcast.
No, but it's, you know.
Like, I like coming here on Mondays. I used to go to the Scarlet Pub where you were saying we should go in New Brunswick.
Uh-huh.
I used to go there every Monday for like a year or two. I would go there every Monday and just because it's an automatic bomb. But
well,
I always figured Monday is like a good night to just eat it, and it's the venue's fault, it's the mic's fault, it's not my fault. Just eat it, and then like Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I'm invincible. You know, like, throw anything at me, and like, I don't give a shit. Because it can't be as bad as Monday. Now I like coming here, because it's like a little bit better than that, but still horrible.
But what you did on stage that impressed me, that I didn't know the room yet. You know, this is my first time I'm here. I'm coming out, you know, I'm like 30th on the list, and I start doing just material.
Yeah, you can't do that.
And it's like, then I realize the first half of your set, you're just fucking with what happened in the room.
You can't do that,
like,
anywhere.
Obviously, yeah. Okay, that's what you have to do. You got to say what's in the room.
Especially with, like, most of the, most New Jersey open mics. It's mostly comedians and people who just hang out at that bar. And come to the, it's mostly the same.
I feel like
even if there's an audience that's not going up,
right,
it's the same people every week. So you can't just hit them. You can't just come out with material because you're just going to be bored right away. You know,
well,
it's not a comedy show. It's fighting for your life the second you get up there. You know, like.
But I have like 70 minutes of material. I could go. I could pull out.
Yeah,
seven.
Yeah.
I can pull
and
out
on a
seven,
show. Yeah,
ten
on a
times.
Show. Easy.
Yeah.
Sure. But like, that's New Jersey comedy. That's the difference between like New Jersey and New York and any major comedy city is like you have to be a dick for the first minute to everybody in the room for them to like you.
Like, what are the first thing you say?
And that's the beauty of Jersey.
I hate you all. Fuck you.
Yeah.
Why do I do this?
They love it.
They're like, oh, abuse, emotional abuse. That's
like,
how I was raised.
No, they're saying, finally, somebody admitted it.
I hate all you cunts.
I hate everyone here, too, and I hate myself. Everybody in this room is feeling the entire show. So,
one thing about your voice right now, you sound freezing.
I'm freezing cold.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm not freezing because I'm pretty drunk. I've had like 5 shots of like well whiskey at the Brighton Bar, which is not even whiskey.
There's like a pump in the back. Dogs peeing it.
It's maple syrup and just like a drunk man's piss.
Like Adderall juice and Robitussin.
Yeah. So I'm hugged up.
Whoa. I feel great. Fuck, man. It is weird. Like in New Orleans, like.
I was going to say, what do you think the difference between like open mic comedy in New Jersey and New Orleans?
Well, I'll tell you this about New Orleans. It's a seasonal city. So every October, the open mics are like packed. Packed. In the summer, when
they have better shit to do in the summer.
When all the colleges are out. So think about a college semester. It's between January and May. Then it dies.
Yeah, sure.
Then between September, October, these shows are huge because all the college kids are in town.
See, it's the opposite out here, man.
Yeah.
It's like, do you like the Stress Factory all the time? It's Stress Factory is in the heart of Rutgers University, which is a huge school out in Jersey.
Yeah.
I rarely ever see Rutgers kids at any show anywhere in New
Jersey. Yeah, yeah.
It's all just the townies and people who stuck around after Rutgers.
Yeah.
College kids do not come out to college.
Every now and then a Rutgers kid eats a hot dick.
Oh, and they'll go up, but like, the kids don't come out just to watch comedy.
Right, that's true.
Yeah. They have no, like, the summertime in Jersey is better for comedy than the winter.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
just because
comics stop coming out. Like, you stop seeing comics that you saw all summer once it gets cold.
Yeah, just because the weather's better.
Yeah.
What's up, bud?
You're doing a podcast.
Yeah.
Hey, you come in, dude.
I just wanted to say that Dwight just, like, kind of lost it on DiCaprio.
What did you say?
He was talking about tying his shoes, and then Dan was like, how come you just don't, why don't you just wear shoes with laces? And then Dwight's like,
Because I never learned how to tie my shoes. I bought two stickers. I can't tie shoes. They tried to teach me when I was eight.
Yo, that is hilarious.
That's a 10-year gap.
No, that is very relatable.
It was like
because
most...
you can see, these are. My only shoes at Oasis are my work shoes, and they are pre-tied. I slip on. They're a half size too big. I slip on. I can tie them, but I just don't like doing it.
I'm sure you can.
I just don't like doing it. I just don't like asking my mom to do it for me.
Like, she already has to look at my shitty underwear when she does my laundry, so I can't also have her tie my shoes every morning.
My mom, I'm 29 years old.
Yeah.
Desperately trying to move out of my parents' house, but still haven't. And a few weeks ago, my mom, I had the day off from work. It was like a Tuesday. My mom's at work, and I wake up at 11 in the morning from a text message from my mom. It says, "Hey, if I ever find a thong in your laundry," because she does my laundry once in a while, "I'm going to fucking kill you if that ever happens again." I was like,
"Why is that bad?"
Because she's pissed that I'm bringing girls home at 3 in the morning while she's asleep and banging them out, and then they're leaving their underwear in my room, and then,
right.
then I have no idea, and throw it in my laundry basket. I just assume that thong is mine, apparently. It's a sock I don't use.
He's like, next time you're banging some whore in my house, you gotta let me know.
Yeah, so I'm like, you know, Mom, that's fair. You know,
we have boundaries. That's fine.
Yeah.
This house rules.
100%, 100% that's fair. We might have a good relationship. Like, I didn't feel good about it. And then I texted the girl. I was like, "Hey, like, do you have a thong in my house?" You know, it's a weird move. And it's definitely a power move by the girl to do that. Like, she definitely did it on purpose. She didn't leave my house with no
underwear. Well, it's like a bulldog
and not know.
Who pees on a fire hydrant.
Exactly. She's barking her territory in my room in my parents' house, which is just pathetic on her part. And fucking, so I text her and she's like, "I don't ever wear underwear. You should know that." And I should know that. So now she assumes that like some other girl is leaving thongs in my house, which isn't the case. Which means the thong is definitely in my sister's.
Your sister's a whore.
Somehow got mixed up
in
my laundry.
Yeah.
And now every woman in my life is mad at me about my sister's thong that I have nothing to do with it.
What whore is over there? What whore? Turns out to be your sister. What a turn of events.
It was wild.
So what's going on with you? You're very funny, Brian St. John, and you live with your parents. Are you trying? Like, what is your goal? Do you think like you could tour and do all that stuff in 10 years with comedy?
But my goal in comedy has always been to make $35,000 to $40,000 a year and just be not. I don't want fame. Yeah, I just want to be the guy who doesn't have kids and gets by. $40,000 a year for me. If I'm not married and I don't have kids, I'm making $27,000 a year right now doing my day job and doing open mics and shows every night.
Right.
So like that I'm getting by on that. If I can make 40 doing that, I can come home on Christmas and see all my friends and family and be happy and be like, "Yeah, I'm doing all right," as long as I don't have kids or a wife. But that's always been the goal, you know. you do that for 10 years and then you die in a Motel 6.
Artie Lang is going to do hopefully.
No, Artie Lang is going to out. I honestly think.
He's going to live to 200.
Yeah, Artie Lang will outlive me. Absolutely. I want to be Greg Giraldo without the fame, without the TV credits. I want like one weekend at like the B clubs in every state every year.
That would be great.
I just want to be doing Funny Bones and Zanies.
Taking Greyhounds.
Traveling around, making a grand a weekend. I'll be happy. That's
like
more
the Brent Weinbach level.
Exactly.
Man.
It's all I ever wanted. Why? What do you want out of comedy?
I want to be the fucking best ever.
No desire. It's never been.
Obviously, it's not going well.
Oh, yeah. It's not going to happen. But, like. Has there ever been like a competitive thing for me? It's just fun. There is an easy, like, especially in, like, around here, like, you see plenty of guys who have like a few TV credits, but they're in their 40s. But they get booked as headliners. If I can do an hour just doing one-nighters and get paid $1,000 a week,
fuck.
The fuck else do I want to do? You know? be in an office from 9 to 5 for the rest of my life and then look forward to retirement. I want to die when I'm 40. I have 10 years, which is a good comedy run.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, 11, so you want to get to that.
I'm going to be 30 in 2 months.
Oh, sick. Yeah, I'm 33. Shit sucks. You know what happened?
Hey, your life's over.
Can I tell you that I used to... I had a trampoline in my backyard, you know?
We didn't. That's why I'm funnier than you.
Probably. Okay, so now take away 10 years of being on the trampoline. Okay, I go back on trampoline with my brother.
I was running last 10 week. Years.
I was in the fog. I was thinking it by pond.
I was under the trampoline just running jokes.
I take one bounce. I go to Sky High. I think it's called Sky High.
I want to go to one of those trampoline parks. It looks like so much fun.
So much fun.
Yeah. I want nobody else to be in the building, though. I just want the whole building to myself for like 20 minutes.
Yeah, you got to watch out for the kids because they will run behind
you.
And you can't kill
them. I don't need a boner on the trampoline. Yeah.
Right. So here's what happened. We're like, okay, go. We got the wristbands. We have an hour, right? I stepped on, I fucking snapped my MCL. like immediately.
Like in a brace snapped it?
No, yeah, I don't know if you saw me at George's. I was in that brace. I was going up the stairs all fucked up. But yeah, man, it's like I never thought of stretching. I never, like when I was 17 yeah, years old and all day on the summer, I would just be doing backflips, not worrying about nothing.
Allen Iverson never stretched. Why should I?
I know, right? He was getting bitches pregnant. Yeah. He was spending all of his NBA check.
He's buying jewelry. Right. After he retired.
Oh, so old. But yeah, you work at right? Can we talk about your work? You're a cook at nursing homes, right?
No,
that's not right.
I'm basically a room service waiter in a hospital.
A room service deliverer.
Waiter, basically.
Waiter. Oh, yeah, okay.
I get a hospital, you know, any patient has to be fed breakfast, lunch, and dinner, right? And then I work at a shitty hospital that we should remain nameless. but let's say my friend works there.
Yeah.
My friend, who has the same name and face as me, works at this hospital. And like, these people need to have breakfast, lunch, and dinner, which is fine. So you find out, like, based on their dietary restrictions, what they can have, and then get their order from them.
Right.
But then the hospital is so shitty that they're trying to like up their like internet scores on everything through the food, because like once in a while maybe they'll like amputate the wrong leg on a diabetic guy.
So they're like, if you give him Eggs Benedict, he'll be like, oh, this place is great.
And yeah, that shit works. Surgery suck, food is great. 5 stars.
He cut off both my legs. Yeah. I went in there for my tonsils.
So it's a very like high pressure waiting job, basically. Yeah. But like it pays. There's no tips involved. Like, people try to tip me all the time, and I can't take it. I'll get fired immediately. If everyone ever offered me, I've been offered 100 one time by like this Italian scumbag, and I was like, nah, not worth it. But like if it was 120, I would have taken it in a heartbeat and risked it. Like, the 100 is the limit. I'm like, maybe not.
So they're like, we're gonna pay you no money. You have to bedazzle them with food.
They pay pretty good, and you get good benefits out of it. But it's not a normal waiting job where like, you're getting paid shit and you're getting tips, right?
Right.
So like, I'd rather be getting cash tips, because like, I was delivering pizzas for the last 10 years before that, and I was making. I was probably taking home more money doing that just because I wasn't paying taxes as well.
Yeah, sure, right.
I kind of miss doing that, honestly. Delivering pizzas is the most fun I've ever had in my life.
Yeah? You smoke weed the whole time?
I do that at the hospital, too. But yeah. you smoke weed, you're in your car all day. You just have some like fat Italian yelling at you that you don't give a shit about.
Because
his 13-year-old kid works there, too, and you know he's the one getting hit, and you're not. So it's like you fuck up. The 13-year-old kid gets hit after school. And like,
did you just agitate him so that kid takes an extra fucking...
Sometimes, yeah. The last pizza place I worked at, the 13-year-old, the owner, the biggest scumbag ever. I worked at like 20 pizzerias, and this guy was the biggest scumbag ever.
Oh, shit.
And then his 13-year-old son would have to come in after school every day.
Yeah.
And then the dad would just leave. Like, at 3 o'clock, the kid would come in after school, and the dad would leave. And the kid, the 13-year-old, is basically my boss. I'd, like, give him cigarettes and shit. And he'd give me good spots in the schedule.
Like, hey, kid, here's pornography. I know you think that you're going to run the this is a hustler.
I'd literally give him a cigarette once in a while and just give me good schedule. You can leave at 8 on Saturday. I'm like, hell yeah. All the money's made by 8.
That's it.
Out the clothes.
Let me ask you this question. What's the farthest you've driven for a mic that was the worst?
I go to New York all the time, and like, mics in Manhattan, and like even Brooklyn and Queens are way worse than mics in Jersey, because like mics in Jersey are like the level of comedy is probably lower, but like you always have like somewhat of nothing. You always have like at least a few bar patrons that are hanging
right.
out. But there's places in the city that are just like they just have open mics like three times a day.
Yeah.
Which is great. That's awesome. But like there's no you know
there's no audience.
Yeah, and you're like, just going up in front of dudes who have been hanging out at that place for the last 4 or 5 years and going nowhere. So it gets a lot there.
Fuck. Then it's like you park at Harrison Path Train.
Yeah.
It costs $10 to park. It's just like
just so you could do three shitty open mics somewhere.
Oh, I'm in Manhattan.
Yeah, and then take an Instagram picture like, oh, look at me, I'm in New York.
Dude, I did the when I was filming my special, one of the places we did was the Lantern 99 Bleak.
Oh, that's the worst.
You ever do that? So I do my
challenge. The Lantern and the like Greenwich Village Comedy Club.
Yeah.
The worst fucking place. Everywhere around the cellar that's just like sucking up all the, the scraps of the people who couldn't get into the cellar that night.
Yeah.
All the people who are like waiting in line at the cellar who couldn't get into like Boo Woo CK and film the set, like, they all just go to the Lantern and like a fucking Greenwich Comedy Club. What's the other one? It's another shitty place right there.
Is there something called
the Grizzly Pear? The Grizzly Pear. Yeah.
Is there something called the Bleecker Street something something? Or?
Probably. I've never been there. But
there's like five
all of those places in the village where you can do comedy without being booked or paid. Hell holes.
It is weird. It's like because it's directly like how much rent does the place cost? How much bullshit can the bar deal with? And then at a certain point with the open mics, they have to churn out enough desperate loser comics to keep the bar tab going and be like, okay, we're actually making a profit here.
Some of those places are literally making more money off selling leather-bound notebooks to shitty comics than they are here. Yeah. Take this Laughing Buddha notebook home with you.
Right, here.
And sign up for our comedy class. He's taught by a guy you've never heard of and never will.
Like, here's a leather...
He's going to kill himself in the next 3 months. Take the comedy class now.
Yeah.
While you still can.
Here's a leather wristwatch you can catch a falcon on. It's just a swag.
Did you ever take a comedy class?
Yeah, you know.
Because you did the UCB.
I did the UCB.
It's different.
Before that, I did.
The stand-up comedy class is just like a whole different phenomenon.
I did one out of
garbage.
Out of Gotham Comedy Club in 2003 when I was a junior in high school. Taught by Dan Vitale.
Who paid for your parents?
Oh, yeah.
my parents probably would have loved to pay for that. Yeah. As opposed to just being, me asking for $20 to buy drugs with.
You're in high school. No, I was classically trained.
Yeah.
I did it.
You're going to Juilliard. It's in Manhattan.
But I went to the new school, so like I did UCB too, like almost like completely a part of college. You know what I mean? And then I did improv for 5 years after that. I never got on a Herald team. And I loved it, but then I was like, I did this shit for 9 years. Like, if I'm not hired on a TV show, like, I'm fucked. Like, if I'm a comic.
Nothing else in improv.
Then you see a couple specials. Like, I saw Dave Attell Road Work, and I saw, Skanks for the Memories. And then it's like,
Skanks is probably the best comedy album of all
ever.
Time.
Yeah. So then I listen to that, and I go, I want to do that ever in my life, so I have to start now. Because if it's going to be 15 years, if I'm good at this, I got to start now, so. Mm-hmm. So then I was like, yeah, I just made a decision. Like, I'm done with improv. Because if I could go out and do improv, I should have been doing stand-up that night.
Yeah, improv is for people who want to be on TV or be famous. Yeah. You know, like, in TV or on movies and be famous. I have zero desire to be
never
judged.
Doubt it. Though it said, hey, come on our... improv.
I've been pretty, like, vocally disgusted by improv most of my life. Especially, like, before even all of, like... Before everyone realized that every white guy does improv is a rapist, I was still against improv.
New Orleans started that.
Did they? Yeah.
Well, then
New York's been going pretty heavy at it. Like every white dude in New York UCB is pretty much a rapist.
Well, it's like the NXIVM cult. At a certain level, it's like if you're a UCB teacher and you're not like a writer on a sitcom as well, like
it you're a rapist. Yeah.
No, you're a cult leader. You're trying to get dumb dumbs.
Just cultivating 21-year-old girls while you're in your 30s. Yeah. come out and think you're the man.
It's pretty hot though.
Yeah, I get it. I'm not. If all white male improvers were just open about like, hey, I'm just like a really good rapist. I'm like, yeah, you know, you're killing it out here.
Yeah, what do you
but
think?
Like, improv is still pretty gay.
What do you think every college professor thinks about all the time? So you're saying that
that's a good point.
I'll like, only deal with
every
girls.
Every college professor that teaches history or science is a rapist. Too.
I'll only deal with girls between 18 and 22. Excellent. Yeah. Excellent.
I'll teach them about women's history.
And look like a real social justice warrior. No, I get girls. I get it. No, they're all assholes. Come to me. Now, listen, you don't know about Rosa Parks and blah, blah, blah. I'm a good
what
guy.
What does it say about girls who take those classes, though?
That issue.
It starts there, but then at some point, I don't want to say you're asking for it, but like,
right.
You implied it.
Well, this is a fucking crazy guy. I like the Jersey comic scene because you can't really offend the comics. You can't some of the comics we offended in New Orleans sometimes.
I've never.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have. I don't think I'm like that like crazy on stage. I always try to like tote the line as being as big of a scumbag as I can without saying like any of the triggering words.
Because
I think that pisses
Just the baby blowjob. That's fine.
But
if you're on a lounge,
That's the thing. That's the thing. So you joke about Caitlyn Jenner,
right?
That is 900% more likely to offend people than me saying that I think babies should be drinking my cum instead of breast milk.
Well, it's plentiful. That was hilarious.
Nobody cares about baby rape. They care about grown woman rape.
you're transphobic, or
just making not even a tranny joke.
Yeah,
me saying tranny would probably be worse. But like a Caitlyn Jenner, who is not only just like a crazy retarded person,
attention whore,
but also a murderer,
and then
became a woman.
So brave. So,
but you make fun of her, and I'll call her. you make fun of her, and that is more offensive than like my most obscene baby rape joke that I made up with my friends when I was drunk in the car ride home. And I was see like, if this pisses people off or not, and then people laugh at it.
Can I tell you my theory of the cultural difference? In the South, you know, they were for slavery, right? And so I think the white people there, they go, oh, we got to be the opposite of racist. The opposite of racist. We have to be social justice warriors. We have to be really liberal and on the cutting edge. And in Jersey, they're like, no. You like the goal is to be as fucking ridiculous and funny as possible. And so I just like culturally, I'm like, yeah, I'm from Jersey, but I've been away for 9 years.
You've
been and
way
I'm like,
too long,
oh, cool. I've never really done stand up here. Because I started doing stand-up in Los Angeles in, like, 2012. So, but yeah. But it's,
I think
it's
stand-up
refreshing.
In Jersey... I think... Let me preface this with this. I think stand-up everywhere right now on March 4th, 2019 is just garbage 90% of the time everywhere. Like, everywhere in the world. I think that it's flooded with just, like, every idiot. And I'm the same idiot, you know, but, like, who just, like, grew up, like, loving it and, like, saw, like, you know, like, I can make a living at this even if, like, you know, it doesn't mean fame.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to be – this is way different than trying to become an actor.
Yeah. Do you think that there's so many people trying to be comics now that it's going to crash the economy because we don't have any engineers or electricians?
No, because there's so many Indians in America now. they're stopping everyone but Indians from coming in.
Oh, so you think
which I'll never say publicly outside of right now because I don't think a lot of people will listen to this.
How dare you?
But. I think that's the best move that our country has ever made. We should just become India. Like, they have close to 2 billion people there. Let's take half of them and just put them to work. Because we're all fucking pretty stupid out here. We're all spoiled and dumb as fuck
and
in America.
And they just go, I'm from Bangalore. We work in Silicon Valley now. And you can program? Go ahead, stupid.
No, we have doctors coming over here who will do customer service jobs. To a fucking T, way better than you could ever like imagine your best self doing.
Yeah, and we're
killing
like,
it. Yeah, they keep you on the phone forever until you either give up, or if it's simple, they help you.
Well, in America, Americans...
Which is exactly what you want them to do.
Americans can't be conned anymore because they did the Vietnam War, and so now we're just like, we know the government's fucked up, the system is rigged, so we're like... Really? Why do you want to work that hard? You're just going to be taken by some corporation.
I don't think that's what it is.
You know?
I don't think
you don't think so?
I think all that is true. That's how it should be. But I think that we profited off of all of our bullshit so much over the last 100 years that our generation is... I think that the baby boomers were the first ones to taste it, and then they made it much worse. Where they're like, all right, we're kind of spoiled here. Right, and then right. They just fucking grabbed onto that. And then we just grew up in it. So our base, you're from a foster home, the shittiest part of America. In Mississippi, you're from a foster home, you're fucking spoiled compared to the majority of the rest of the world.
Yeah, that's true. That's
interesting. So we're all, and like most of us are like the most spoiled you could possibly be.
Yeah.
Like, we have everything.
Yeah.
Like, even, like 9/11 was the worst thing to ever happen in this country. And it was fucked up.
It was the best thing that ever happened to Halliburton, though.
Well, yeah, but that's the thing. And then we were always like, let's make money. Like, everyone was like, fuck yeah, let's go to war after that. Like, 3,000 people, which is not, like, compared to the rest of the world, the most fucked up thing that's ever happened in the country. Not that big a deal.
Yeah. But like, I saw, like, in India, this one city so polluted that they turn on the water, the city water, and it's just pushing just, like, all the garbage down the street. You can't even see the water. It's like...
And that's India, where the smartest people in 2018 in America are from.
Right. They're like, we're not putting up with
every
that,
doctor, so. Like, every engineer.
Yeah, send me to Flint. That water is better than in my fucking neighborhood, you know?
I have a PhD and I shit in the street.
Fuck. Well, Brian St. John, I'm just freezing. But it was good getting a little, getting to know you.
Come on the Pizza Boys.
Oh, fuck yeah. I'll do your podcast.
In a few weeks or something.
Sounds good. Anyway, and I'll see you at the Stress Factory if I don't see you before that next Wednesday. But anyway. That's been another episode of the Highway Motherfucking Diary in the bag with Mike.
Is it Highway Motherfucking Diary?
It is at the end of the show. Brian St. John. Thanks for coming over.
Thanks.
Hey, we got the-